Hello, everyone. Welcome to Super Metal World. This is Michael.
And this is Ty.
This week we've got interviews with Tala.
Yes.
And a little taste of the Black Dahlia murder.
What?
Yeah, we got an interview with them before their show at the Aquarium, local venue in the Fargo area here for us. But first, to get into Tala. Tala is a band out of Pennsylvania. I think the Philadelphia area. We talked with Max Portnoy and Justin Bonnets, two of the members of the band. Max Portnoy being the drummer, who is, yes, Mike Portnoy's son. Mike Portnoy is the legendary drummer of
Dream Theater.
Yep. And Justin Bonnets is, he was a kind of a YouTube phenomenon star.
A YouTuber.
Metalhead YouTuber guy. So we spoke with them about their newest single and kind of the formation of their band, and we have a taste of, not even a taste, a full meal of their
of placenta.
Their full meal. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Their full bite of placenta, their latest single, at the end of...
We'll play it at the end,
end of their interview?
Yeah, we'll play it at the end of their interview, yes. And we did this interview a couple months ago, probably in March or so, and we were waiting to release it because we wanted to release it with the single. So
yep.
They have it ready, and it's a great single, and it's really catching some steam. It was really fun to talk to those two guys. So yeah, we'll start off with Tala, and then we'll end with the Black Dahlia interview. We did the interview with Trevor Sternad. He's the vocalist. I wasn't a part of this, actually. Michael had to do this.
I had to go
interview him.
I had to go talk to Trevor.
Michael got to do this. I had other obligations. I was lending my amateur guitar talents to a family friend. She's graduating soon, so some pre-graduation stuff. But yeah, how did that go? How was the show? It went well.
So Black Dahlia's got a spring tour, kind of turning into a summer tour in the spring. I think until mid June, they're touring with a band called Homewrecker. They're out of Cleveland, and then they begin their tour in mid June with Whitechapel. And it was a fun show. For those of you who don't know, the Aquarium is a tiny, tiny, tiny little venue. Not tiny, tiny, but
it's a small venue.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
And Homewrecker destroyed. And Black Dahlia, of course, destroyed. Homewrecker is super good. I was really impressed by them. They're like a death metal punk. I think they have a shirt. They had one of the merch they were selling had a death metal punks shirt on it,
sure,
on the back.
Sure.
It's like, well, that's pretty much what they are. But
mm-hmm.
No, the show, Black Dahlia show, was great. They played, their set list included every song off their latest release, Nightbringers, which is a great album. I think it's only like 35 minutes long, so it's like in your face and gone before you know it, but it's a great album. They played it all in its entirety, which we briefly discussed in the interview we had, but
mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance to go see Black Dahlia, go see them, because they put on a hell of a show.
Now, originally, Michael and I will admit that we were not Black Dahlia fans until recently. I think it's fair to say that, and we want to be forthcoming with you. We actually didn't even start. Well, we always had heard of them.
Yep.
But we didn't get interested until we were interviewing all these unsigned bands, and we kept asking, like, who are your influences? And a lot of them kept saying Black Dahlia Murder, Black Dahlia Murder. And we're like, why is everybody saying Black Dahlia Murder? Because when we thought of Black Dahlia Murder, we were kind of thinking of pop punk, I think, or like the emo bands.
Yeah, like emo, like a hardcore thing.
Yeah, that kind of caught high popularity in the mid-2000s or mm-hmm. when early mid-2000s.
Yep, exactly.
And we were very wrong.
So wrong.
I'm happy to say.
I mean, they're straight up melodic death metal, mm-hmm. little bit of black metal, you know, just like all sorts of metal, but they are without a doubt a metal band.
Yeah, and we, I don't know about Michael, but I personally went and started listening to them because everybody kept saying they were influenced by them. And the first album I listened to was Nightbringers, and I was very impressed start to finish. It's a very strong album. And then I I'm now starting to go through their back catalog. Yep. So, but I cannot say I'm super familiar with everything they put out, but I'm getting there by the day, I guess.
Yeah. You know, they've quickly become one of my bands that I like frequently listen to.
And we it's funny because we kind of got started in metal in a unique way where we went back and listened, maybe not a unique way because a lot of people do this, but we went back and listened to like your classic like thrash metal first to kind of get ourselves introduced to metal. So it was like kind of blowing our minds that people wouldn't say like Metallica or Megadeth sometimes in like their inspirations. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? You have to be inspired by Metallica or Megadeth in order, or Black Sabbath. Otherwise, you're not a real metal band.
Yep.
That's extreme. I didn't think that, but it was shocking to me a little bit.
How little the Big Four influenced a lot of the bands we interviewed.
Yeah, and like, I guess if you do like the trickle-down effect, like they influenced, you know, like some of these bands they're saying were influenced by the Big Four, yada, yada. You know, the influence has come from everywhere. But anyway, long story short, we are tickled pink to have them on the show.
Yeah.
To have the opportunity to interview a band like that. It's great. And Tala is equally great. We're very excited. They have like a new metal vibe, and I think you guys are really going to like this Placenta track. So we thought the combining of the two of them would help. Would be a good thing. Now, we'll get to some plugs briefly. Before we get to those plugs, I do want to send some shout-outs to some people that have been slowly
Some
people that have started to get involved with Super Metal World Podcast.
There you go.
We'll say that. And I wanted to give them a shout out. So we got a couple Instagram ladies that have shared their beauty with us, I guess is the best way I can put it. And I want to give you their account so you can go follow their content. It's very strong content. They just post good pictures of them wearing probably your favorite t-shirts and all that stuff like that. So the first one is Addie A-D-D-I-E-I-X Marie, M-A-R-I-E. And the next one is Z-T Postert. So Z-T-P-O-S-T-E-R-T.
We'll get those linked in the show notes.
Yep. So thank those ladies, and you can look forward to seeing their lovely faces in the future for kind of promoting bands, promoting merchandise, promoting our website. Happy to have them on board. Then we want to give a shout out to our first columnist. I'm going to call him a columnist.
Columnist, I like
that's,
that.
That's what our manager, Mark Radlin, said, I have to say. It sounds more professional than a blogger.
Columnist, I agree. It does.
And that is Skeleton Rose Media. The guy behind that is John Huber, our brother in arms. We're not going to pretend like we don't know him. We've known him since we were in high school.
Great friend.
Yeah.
Also great writer.
Skeleton Rose Media is exactly how it sounds. He writes horror novels. He does melodic death metal, solo project that Michael helps him with the mixing and the artistic direction, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
And he just wrote his first column today about the band Tool and about just kind of the metal genre in itself. And we're very, it's a great article. So go read that. Go to supermetalworld.com to read that. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email us at supermetalworld@gmail.com. We are available on all your social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Supermetalworld is how you would find us. And let's see. Streaming. You can stream us pretty much on anything except for Spotify. Getting there. We will let you know as soon as that happens, and I cannot wait so I can stop saying that.
Yep.
And quickly, before we get into the episode, then you can get all this great content. Our goal when we initially started this podcast was to interview bands that didn't otherwise get the limelight to help to create a platform to raise them up.
Yep.
And we wanted to be stingy about the bands that we allowed because we obviously wanted them to be talented. It's about getting bands that are actually talented, get their music out there. And we think so far we've done a good job of doing that, and we're so happy for the bands that have reached out. As we've gone on, we've realized we want to do more, and I think it's important to state your goals clearly to everybody. So we want to do more than be a podcast. So that's why you're going to see people like people modeling for us and people starting to write columns for us. And we hope to get writers on, not writers, but artists on to draw for us even. Long story short, if you have something to contribute to the metal community, I guess, and a talent of yours that you want to share with us, we'd love to see it. Obviously, it's all for free right now and just for the love and passion of metal. But our idea is to create a platform that is kind of alternative to the LiveWire and the Metal Injection.
Are you
Metal
Sucks? LoudWire? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, did I say LiveWire? Mm-hmm. LoudWire. An alternative metal source to those kind of websites, because those websites do produce good content, but we want something different than like, here's the top 10 bands of this era, or here's the top 10 songs from this band, or here's a YouTube link, or I don't know, just an alternative source for content, and one that's more passionate about the underground. But at the same time, we do want to interview big time bands like we did Black Dahlia. So anyway, that is the dream, is to have supermetalworld.com be kind of your source for metal, where you can go and check out some content that you wouldn't otherwise get like anywhere else.
Well thought, like
think pieces, yeah, I think is what we were calling it.
Think pieces, things that, you know, are more than just a list of things.
Yeah, and just more in-depth thoughts about this genre.
Less BuzzFeed-y.
Yes, exactly. That's a good way to put it. So I think, it's important that we state that is our main goal, is to create a website that includes podcasts, that includes articles, that includes other content that related to the metal genre. So, I've been talking a lot. Let it run. We're here with Max Portnoy and Justin Bonitz of Tala. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What up? So Tala, it's kind of it's a new project, right? I mean, is this brand spanking new, or how long have you guys been at it?
Yeah, it's pretty much brand new. We've really only been a band, like, officially for like 4 months-ish. I mean, I've been working on it for way longer than that, but it became like official and announced and started playing shows like basically when 2018 started.
January 7th. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about how did it form? How did it come to fruition? What's Tala about?
Well, I wanted to really do a metal project because I had been doing like a progressive metal thing for like 6 years or whatever. And I just wanted to switch to like just straight up metal and like do all like my influences that come from like new metal and hardcore, and just have a band that was like filled with like tons of stage energy and all that kind of stuff. So I started like asking around like the people that I knew from like the area who I played with, who had like great stage presence. Like, for example, Cooper, who's our bass player. Like, I've been wanting to work with him for like years because he always had the best stage energy that out of like anyone I've ever met. Mm-hmm. So I started like forming it and all this stuff. And I ended up finding Justin through YouTube because he's a YouTube. How would you describe yourself?
He's a YouTube musician.
Yeah. And I've actually been a fan of him for a bit, like, because I follow his like solo project and all that stuff. So I reached out to him. I actually told my dad. I was like, "Dad, if you reach out, it'll be a little bit more professional looking. So you're going to go and you're going to message him for me." And it worked. And then I got in touch with Justin, and he basically wrote the vocals for the EP in a week to play the show on the 7th. So he started on January 1st and played the show on the 7th.
Awesome. That's some true dedication there.
Yeah.
So how many songs do you guys have for that EP? How many songs have you been playing live that are original?
We have 5 songs on the EP right now. And we've been playing all of those songs live with currently one added cover.
Sure.
We started doing Given Up by Linkin Park, but now we switched to Eyeless by Slipknot. And who knows what we'll switch to next. Or eventually we'll have enough originals to, you know, not have to do a cover or whatever. But yeah, we're going to keep writing and playing songs live, but we'll definitely be playing the 5 songs on the EP for as long as we can, you know, even after the release and everything, because it's fun to play it live. That way everyone knows the song before it's even released, and it's pretty awesome.
I think that's a good idea. And actually, a lot of the bands that we've interviewed have said that they prefer to, like, get these songs battle tested before they go and record them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great because people are already like quoting like lyrics and stuff, and like they know the songs, and like we obviously haven't even released anything yet. So it just adds to all the hype and stuff. It's
awesome. Yeah, it kind of builds up
some of the parts.
Anticipation, too. So
I think she watched like all the live stuff and just like figured it out.
That's pretty awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, how does she know the word? It was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. No, that's pretty cool that people are kind of already leeching onto it and they're into the lyrics. The next thing I was going to say, we got to get the elephant out of the room. So, Max, your dad's Mike.
Yeah.
Mike Portnoy.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way. What was that like? Because I don't wake up every day being, oh, my dad's in Dream Theater. I wake up saying, oh, my dad works with water. So what's it like?
Well, I started in his nuts, and then I came out of there. And then,
interesting.
Yeah, and then I kind of grew up, and he played drums and stuff, and I said, hey, that's pretty cool. And I said, that's what I'm going to do one day. And then, that's the story of my life.
When did you decide you wanted to do drums as opposed to, any other instrument or singing?
I don't know. It all just came naturally for me. Like, if I, play guitar or bass or something, it's, I actually have to focus on what I'm doing. But, when I play drums, it's just, I just don't really think about it. I just do it. So, I always just thought it was more comfortable for me.
And was it always, because you said this first project you were in, you said that was more progressive. Is mm-hmm. Is that something that you picked up from Dream Theater? Are you into progressive music? I know that's a weird question, but do you like Dream Theater style metal?
Yeah, I do. I don't listen to it as much as I do just straight up metal, like Slipknot or System of a Down and stuff. But
sure.
I like it. I like bands like Dream Theater, Tool, Haken,
yep.
Pain Itself, and all those kind of bands. I listen to them.
Yeah, right. It's just not like your thing. Your main thing is kind of like you were saying, that new metal, by that, are you saying Korn, Slipknot,
yeah,
kind of that?
Korn, Slipknot, Linkin Park, System of a Down, that
sure.
kind of stuff.
So that era.
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up listening to that kind of stuff, too.
Okay, I'm going to swing it over to Justin here. Justin, so you're a YouTuber.
Yes.
Tell me about that journey. When did that start, and why did you decide you wanted to kind of put yourself out there on YouTube?
Oh, well, I used to be in a different band, and it seemed like the other band members couldn't keep up with what I wanted to do, and they kind of eventually flaked out, and I was like, all right, well, I write everything, so I'm just going to keep going by myself. And so, recording everything, I was like, YouTube is the way to go.
Sure. And I noticed that, so you have two solo projects out, kind of like Max had brought up, or not two solo projects, excuse me, you have one, but you've released two albums, right? You've released two albums for that project, correct?
Oh, no. I released three albums for my main solo project.
Okay,
and
sure.
I have two other solo projects that I've released an album for each of them.
Oh, okay. And are those all still active, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're still contributing to that. Awesome. And now, as far as Tala, so this band is influenced by bands like you were just mentioning, System of a Down, Korn, etc. How would you describe the sound? What do you guys sound like those bands, or what's the vibe?
I would say if you took all of those bands and fused them in together into one super band, that's kind of us. And then you just add a bunch of people who just escaped an insane asylum.
Sure, sure. And then you just basically throw that in a blender, and then you got Tala, right?
Yeah.
How'd you guys come up with the name?
All right. So, funny story. Band name is easily the hardest part of actually being in a band because we went through hundreds of names, multiple of which we settled on, and then 2 weeks later found out that it was actually already a band, so we couldn't actually use it. So that was very frustrating. And eventually we got to the point where I was filling into this band, Dollskin, and I just decided to put on their merch thing. I was just saying, help me name my band or whatever. And I left out a bunch of sheets of paper, and tons of people were filling out different names. We have four different pages full of a bunch of band names. None of them really stuck, but some little girl just walked up and wrote her name on the piece of paper and then walked away. And her name was Tala. And I was just like, you know, that's cool. It's one word. It's simple. And I was just like, it's cool. We're going with it. It sounds cool. And we actually used her handwriting as our font for our logo. So we just scanned the piece of paper, and that's what the logo is.
That's pretty awesome. That's unique, too.
Yeah, it's got a cool story, and the name is very easy to remember, so I like it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's... I kind of like the artwork you chose to go with it. Did you guys do that, or did you reach out to somebody to have that done? You know, kind of, I'm talking about the one, like, it's your Facebook profile pic.
Oh, that was just like a friend of ours that did that. Someone else that was in the band a while ago, he just contacted like someone, one of his friends, and they just kind of drew that up. I don't even really know who did it. it just showed up. I'm like, all right, we're using it. But the writing itself, like I said, was from the little girl, just the fan of that page.
Sure. And where are you guys based out of?
I would say Pennsylvania. We're basically, I would say Philly is like the closest like main city. So that's kind of what we say. We're like from Philly. But everyone's just kind of scattered, really. Like I'm in Coopersburg near Allentown. Justin's over in Massachusetts. Derek is in Jersey. The only one that's actually from Philly is our bass player, Cooper. So.
Sure. Yeah, that works. And have you just been playing around Philly, or, I mean, you know, have you gone outside of Philadelphia for shows?
Yeah, we've done multiple different places. We went to California for two shows, too.
New York.
Yeah, we were in New York as well. We're going to be in Jersey for the first time on Friday. Well,
awesome.
When this comes out, it'll already have been happening. It's all good.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. And... is this something where are you traveling with somebody, or are you guys just kind of saying, hey, you're reaching out to venues and saying, can we play here? How's it working?
Kind of in a mix. A couple of times we've reached out to some places and asked if we can get on a show or something. And then a lot of the other times, like other bands have asked us to join the show. Like if they're like playing it and they need someone else to join the bill or something. Mm-hmm. And then like, for example, like when we were in California, we were playing the Schecter show at NAMM. So, a guy at Schecter helped us out and got us on that. So it's just kind of a mix of everything. And right now we're actually trying to get on some tours. So currently booking that up, and we'll have more info on that in the coming month.
Sure. Of course. So you're planning on kind of touring and getting your name out there throughout 2018. Is that correct? Or are you taking any time off?
Nope. No time off. Not that we plan on. We're definitely gonna be trying to play as much as we can, like touring all the time, and we'll definitely have our EP out by the end of 2018, sooner than later.
Sure.
So we'll just be playing as much as we can. Like, we wouldn't turn down an opportunity to play a show or do a tour or anything.
And you mentioned Dollskin, right? Like you stepped in for drums for them. Is that what you said?
Yeah, their drummer can play like two or three shows, I think three, four, something like that. So I just like filled in for a couple shows.
Now, do you know each other through a mutual connection? Like, do you guys have a manager that's the same, or how does that work? How does that connection work?
Well, my last band, okay, let me restart. So they opened for my dad's band, Metal Allegiance, like 2 years ago. And I just kind of reached out to them from there. We all became friends, and then we just kind of hung out for years. And then this last summer, I toured with them with my last band, Next to None, because we were on the same label. And yeah, we just stayed in touch, and now I'm dating the guitarist. So,
oh, okay. Well, that works. Well, I mean, you should probably stay in touch then, if you're dating her. I mean,
yeah, a little bit. You know.
It's just a little bit. You don't have to like stay super in touch. Just the right amount in touch.
Just the right amount.
Not to dig you into a hole or anything. But. So what's it like outside of the band? I mean, I know the band's kind of like your guys' main focus. What do you guys do outside of the band? What do you like to do? What kind of relaxes you, or is outside hobby? Is there an outside hobby, or is it all just music?
90% of the time, it's the band for me, and the other 10% is just playing video games. So that's literally it for me. I don't know about you, Justin.
I do like martial arts. That's my time.
And you said video games.
Yeah. So
let's go there. What are we playing for video games?
The two main games I've always played for like years now. It's been League of Legends and World of Warcraft. I haven't played League in a while, so I've just been playing World of Warcraft for like 2 months now. It's pretty great. I love it.
So you're doing this all on PC, right?
Yeah, PC.
Awesome. So no, you're not a console gamer at all.
I used to play Xbox a lot when I was like younger, like when I was in like middle school and stuff. And then I don't know, I decided to play nerdier games.
sure, makes sense. Justin, you write all the lyrics for the band?
I do.
Where do these lyrics come from? Is there a common theme? Are they from personal experience?
Oh man,
you know what I mean?
It's a concept EP. I don't want to spoil anything, but basic rundown is that it's about this guy. He's never been outside ever because he kind of had this overbearing mother.
Sure.
And some stuff is going to happen during the EP, and lots of metaphysics are involved, and you know, like ontology and stuff like that.
Okay, sure. So these are a thinking man's lyric. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
And why did you want to incorporate metaphysics? Is that something you're interested in?
It's something that I'm very fascinated in and has become part of my belief system.
It's everything.
It's just like, I just love the concept of it, and I want more people to be aware of it.
Okay. So, hey, this is a great opportunity for that then. So for our listeners and for the layperson, what is metaphysics? How would you describe it?
Well, I would describe it almost as like, it's kind of like the idea that these things outside of it, they only exist to be observed like by us. So it's like, it's almost like if you didn't believe something was there, then it wouldn't exist to be there for you as an individual to observe and take from.
So what brought you to metaphysics? You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, I spent a lot of my time doing like martial arts. So, of course, I got into like meditation and
sure
stuff like that. So the more that I turned inward, the more I started to become fascinated with turning outward and wondering about the universe around me. So I just started looking at things like astrology and metaphysics and digging into like almost like the scientific yet spiritual theories from like Eastern mystics.
So it's kind of a spirituality? Is that what you're kind of saying?
It's like a science spirituality. I guess a lot of people would call it almost like a pseudoscience, but to me it's just more.
Sure. Well, maybe do I have to meditate to get this? Do I have to meditate to understand that?
It's really just like, it's like a concept. Like it's not an actual like scientific, there's no fact behind it. A lot of they'll take it and not like it. You know, it's a theory, but it's one of those things you can prove or disprove it. It's almost religious in a sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like the hardcore scientists would say that this is pseudoscience or this is, there's no... Right.
Not something that can be observed through like scientific instruments.
Yeah, like right, like you said, you can't like make a hypothesis and do the whole scientific method. Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting. I'm gonna have to do some more research on that and open my mind to some metaphysics. That sounds kind of like some Tool type shit.
Right, I'm sure they've probably touched on at least a little bit. Maybe
you know that they are definitely fucking with metaphysics. There's no two ways about it.
You get really dig into those lyrics about the Fibonacci spiral. Like it's right the same way.
Yeah, sure. So how would, let's put it this way. What would you say to get somebody to your show? What would be your pitch? You got to see Tala because why?
Oh, man. Honestly, I would tell them it's because it's just an experience that you're never going to forget. Like, we never play the same show. We're always doing something different, a different part. And even people who don't know us after the show, they want to know us. The energy level that we have is something that a lot of bands I think they're afraid to go there.
Sure. And are you talking about kind of your stage presence, that kind of thing?
Yeah, a lot of stage presence, but it's the music too. Like, Mark was saying earlier, he really likes that nu metal stuff.
Yep.
So it's like, it just has an energy to it that a lot of like modern day like progressive metal or djent or metalcore, it just can't reach it the same way.
Okay, I get what you're saying. So would you say is it emotional?
It's very angry. I guess anger is an emotion.
Yeah, sure. Some would say. So let's do the plugs, guys. Where can people find you for right now? You know, if people want to reach out and learn more about Tala, where do they go?
We have an Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, all of which are just Tala. So if you search Tala, they'll pop up. You know, that or Tallahassee, Florida. You know,
we're working on it.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to hear the EP. We're excited to hear whatever singles you guys have. And we thank you both so much for taking the time. Good luck on tour, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for all right. Having us.
Awesome. Take care.
Yeah, you too. See ya.
That was Max Portnoy and Justin Bonnets from Tala.
My dudes.
Pretty cool, chill dudes.
Yeah. And check out the... we're going to feature the track Placenta. Check out the music video, too. Really cool music video.
It is.
Just go to YouTube, Tala, Placenta. You'll find it. And if you are around the area, see these guys live. Sounds like they have a pretty crazy and energetic show, which is one of the main reasons I like to go to metal shows in the first place.
You pull up some of their, like, on their Tala YouTube page, they have videos of, like, highlights of, like, their tour. And it's just, like, it looks like an absolute shit show, and I love it.
Without further ado, here is Placenta by Tala. And that was Placenta. I really enjoy that track. It reminds me a lot of kind of the Korn, Mudvayne.
Well, all those influences they were talking about. It's
I think
new
metal
there.
Has a bad stigma to it.
I agree.
But that era, I guess, is I guess how you could put it. So now the next thing we're going to do here is we're going to swing over to the interview that you had.
The main event.
Yeah, the interview you had with Trevor.
First, I would like to say that Trevor is a super cool guy, super friendly, just a great all-around
and
person.
He should play D&D with us sometime.
He should. We should, next time he's in town, we'll bring him over.
Yes.
Bring him over, play some Dungeons & Dragons. Anyway, here's the interview. This is Michael with Super Metal World here. We're with Trevor of the Black Dahlia Murder. Trevor, how are you going?
Good, man. Chilling like a villain here in Fargo, man.
Right on. So you guys are out right now with touring with Homewrecker, which you turned then into a tour later this summer with Whitechapel, right?
Yep.
And for those who've been, I guess, living under a rock, why don't you give a little bit Black Dahlia Murder 101 on what you bring to the table musically?
We're a melodic death metal band with elements of thrash, black metal, and some heavier death metal stuff. It's kind of like a melting pot of sounds, I guess. A fast band. Do you like fast stuff, guys?
Absolutely. Okay, so like I said, you're going to be touring this spring with Homewrecker into later stuff with Whitechapel. You're playing the entirety of your newest release, Nightbringers, on that tour as far as the set list is concerned, right? So
yep.
Is that going to include like front to back, top to bottom, the entire
front
album?
Front to back, yeah.
Okay.
What people don't realize now is that we're playing it on this tour, but it's just broken up. You know, we just didn't really announce it or anything. Because we needed to dust some of these songs off, man. That we played some of them for the first time yesterday. Three of them, actually. So it's a little stressful, but...
Sure. Yeah, I bet.
I like playing the new shit, though. I think I don't know. It's just when it comes across, it feels like you're dropping some important science or something. You know, like it's gotten... I don't know. Just comes... I don't know. More emotionally driven or gripping, I guess, than the older shit. So I always feel that way about playing new stuff. You know what I mean? Like I'm more into... It's more challenging. It kind of physically, it sucks sometimes, you know, because I feel like we're always reaching as far as technicality with each record, you know, as we get older. Get
right, as you
chops, kind of
you grow, you become like better, more skilled.
And we were like listening back to the early shit, like the first record in particular. We were super green, you know. We were just kids, and we hadn't left the state really yet, you know, and we didn't have anything in the way of touring under our belts at that point, so. When I hear back, I cringe a little bit at it, you know. I like the songs. I think, you know, the songwriting was cool, but we were seriously, like, extending ourselves to play that shit at the time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we were reaching pretty far for what we were capable of. So we had to, like, catch up kind of after that, you
sure.
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, things have changed. The guys I'm really lucky to play with they're incredible musicians, man. Fucking... It's awesome. I feel like I can barely keep up with them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's an honor for sure.
Right on. And you guys have been around for, what, 17, 18 years now?
Yep. So many that I don't even really keep track of it. I know it's a lot now.
You've been...
It's 2001, so yeah.
Well, you've been like successful for long enough now that new musicians are starting to crop up that are... whose primary influences include the Black Dahlia Murder? What's that like? What's that experience like? When did you first start, like, noticing that?
It's flattering, man. It's super flattering, you know? I don't feel like I've aged. Well, I do, you know, like, when I drink a lot and I'm hungover.
Yep.
But, like, just with the way that I am, you know, I feel like I'm still stuck at 15. So when I talk to kids and they look at me like an old wizard, that's when I realize how old I've gotten, you know what I mean?
They're sure.
Like, hey, old man, you know, how do you do it? You know, I'm like, whoa. But I don't know, it's been cool that we stuck around this long. I never expected it. We wanted to, you know, we tried to think not only as being a global band, but, you know, being able to stay around, like looking at Cannibal Corpse and Napalm and Obituary and bands that have, like, survived the coming and going of metal's mass popularity, you know what I mean?
Yep,
kind
absolutely.
Of like through different dips, and you know, we were just thinking like that, and now, you know, we were on the eighth record, and I remember when all I wanted was to make one album, you know, I wanted one album, like on a real label, so I could show my parents and be like, check it out, guys, you know?
It's all been worth it.
It's gone so much further than that, so you know, the dream is alive and well.
Good. That's cool. Very cool. To dive into the song Widowmaker, you reference in the lyrics from
Megadeth.
Megadeth, killing was my business and business is good.
Dude. And Megadeth is my first metal man, dude. Like,
okay.
They were just everything to me when I was in school. I used to, like, painstakingly draw pictures of Dave Mustaine's face and shit. And, like, just super lame shit like that. I wore, like, a Megadeth shirt every single fucking day.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was that dude, you know. But, so yeah, it's definitely, you know, a nod to Megadeth, obviously, but I do that a lot lyrically, like, steal little bits of lines and kind of, like, paraphrase bands that I like from all different kinds of music, and just really to see if anyone's paying attention, kind of, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Some people pick up on it, some don't, and I don't know, it's just a fun thing for me, kind of. There's a Metallica chorus that I, like, basically just word for word did, but it's just so different in our song, you know what I mean? The song is about removing people's faces and, you know, stealing people's identities and stuff. And it's "I'm you, sad but true," you know?
Okay, like,
that's
sure,
part of the lyric right in the on. Chorus. So just, you know, I'm always doing shit like that. It's just, I don't know, man. I like words. I like wordplay. I like, and, you know, like wearing our influences, you know, very proudly on our sleeves. We've always been that kind of band. And so just a nod to... There's all, you know, album names of other bands and shit, just classic stuff, mostly classic death metal. Small nods are just tied in all over the place. And I don't know, it's just fun for me, I guess.
Right on. That's cool. I would like to talk about the song Matriarch, which is, like, pretty grisly, pretty dark, right?
Yes.
It's about a woman who is physically unable to... carry a child, so right. She stalks another pregnant woman and steals the baby
yes.
when the moment is right.
Yes.
Where was the inspiration from that? Because there was recently a story in the Fargo-Moorhead area of, like, something very tragic and very similar to that story. Her name is Savannah Graywind, and the story is, like, it's actually, like, eerily similar. So what was your inspiration for that?
It was an actual crime that I learned of. I don't remember where it took place, though, but it was, like, that one was, like, a Craigslist kind of situation.
Okay.
You know, they trick someone into coming. And also the movie Inside, the French horror movie, has got some parallels there. Very gruesome, scary. It's one of the last movies I saw that scared the shit out of me.
is that where you does a lot of your lyrics come from, like stories you read online, or where's it come from?
Yeah, it's from all different things, you know. There's no shortage of horror in the real world, you know what I mean? It seems like times are getting either more violent or the internet has just made us more aware of the violence that happens around us all the time. And so there's no shortage of that, but you know, a lot of what I write is fantastic too, you know, and I enjoy that aspect of death metal, kind of the telling the story of the villain in a way that you kind of have that bird's eye view of Jason throughout a Friday the 13th movie, and you're in a weird way rooting for him, or just, you know, at least sticking around to see what he does, you know. Like, that's kind of the appeal of death metal, and or certain kinds of death metal, you know, what I like to bring to the band: the gory element, the frightening element, weird stalker lyrics and necrophilia and just stuff that's just tried and true classic metal shit. But that's one of the things that keeps me coming back to metal, keeps me into the underground, you know, and I just want that to show through BDM, you know, especially for people that are just getting into extreme metal. You know, I like to embody a kind of a classic look with the artwork, you know, that I feel represents very... It's just, to me, it's death metal, you know, like to have the evil place, you know, album cover. You don't want to go there, it's foreboding, it's bad, the bad place. Beware, you know, like, just, I love... There's a lot of really classic shit, at least to me, that we tie in the band, or I try to, you know, thematically and stuff like that. And it's a lot for realizing that we've been a lot of people's first extreme band, like I said, you know what I mean? If we're going to usher them into it, which I'll try to do it the best I can, you know, in the right way.
Right.
And just try to show them what appeals to me about it, you know?
Right on.
Because I'm still excited by the underground, and I'm always checking out bands and... You know, keeping my finger to the pulse, even though we've gotten so big and kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it keeps me centered and grounded to...
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many bands out there of infinitely better than us, you know? We're just very lucky, I think, and just had the right opportunities and had the kind of think by being a weird looking band to people, you know, when we came out especially, that just made waves in itself, you know.
What do you mean by weird looking?
Short hair, glasses, playing death metal.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
Before that,
non-traditional,
was like a thing, exactly.
Okay.
And it was divisive for some people, you know what I mean? They felt like we didn't meet the dress code, you know what I mean? And
not certain, metal enough?
Yeah, and some people were into it, or some people didn't care, and so, I don't know, like, right from the get-go, we kind of didn't go down this traditional path that I thought we would, you know, I thought we'd be considered a death metal band right out of the gates, and, but I, in a way, I think it's allowed us to go down all these different avenues, and we, when I look out in the crowd, I see all different walks of, the, you know, the underground, and it's all right with me. It's great. I don't care what they call us, as long as they like it.
Right on.
You know what I mean? Why'd be fucking uptight?
So, what sorts of words of encouragement or inspiration would you give to aspiring bands that are trying to make it, trying to get signed, trying to get out there and make their main name known?
Well, don't wait around, man. You got to do stuff. You know, we're still DIYing shit. You know, it's all about what we can do together as a band, and we're always trying to push the band to a higher level, you know, and just be driven. You know, don't sit around and wait. Use the internet to your maximum potential. There's a lot of great avenues. Bandcamp is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a young band to get started, it kind of acts like your own mini label. It's got the storefront right there built in.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the digital copies to people for free or damn cheap. And sidestep, you could sidestep some of those bad deals, man. You know, record deals have gotten notoriously worse even since we got signed. You know what I mean? So the label might not be everything, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
For certain bands, and I think there's certain bands that could, you know, do without. It's been, you know, we've been very fortunate to be with one label this entire time, and we always have energy from them, you know what I mean? We've been very fortunate that Metal Blade's been just right behind us, because I've seen so many of our peers, like, have the turmoil of changing labels, and you know, it's like, who do you trust, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure,
this is a long, ongoing family type relationship with Metal Blade, so I can't imagine like having it broken up, you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. What you mentioned, like metal bands that you are listening to, that you like to listen to, what sort of new metal bands, maybe slightly underground, that you're digging into right now?
Gate Creeper, I think everybody knows of them by now, but I think they're awesome. Scorched, I really like. Homewrecker, these guys on tour with us, obviously. We take them out. Once I heard the new record, I was like, we're taking these fucking guys out.
Yeah,
it was so
sure.
Mean. What else do I like? I just heard this band called Oxygen Destroyer from Washington State. Sort of like a more raw version of Vader. But thematically, it's all about Godzilla and Godzilla movies. That's not something I'm super versed in, but very cool idea, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the band is super sick. Definitely recommend them. Lago is about to drop an album. They're from Arizona. It's sort of like Morbid Angel meets like older Behemoth, I guess. Very, very fucking awesome. Recommend that.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, man. There's just no shortage of shit, you know. It keeps me excited. You know, I like to hear new sounds all the time, and I can't believe how many bands are there. It seems like you should be bumping into a death metal band at every turn, you know, when you go to the store or something. But it's not that way. But it's amazing how much is out there, you know.
So let's see here. We'll wrap up with some rapid fire questions,
okay, cool.
some pretty lightweight
sort of
things.
Sure.
What is the least metal thing you do while you're on tour?
Oh, we have to be listening to adult-oriented rock music.
We got to take the edge off after all the shows.
Yeah, I like, you know, some boofy-haired sounds, what can I say?
Right on.
Totally 80s. Just takes me back to being in the backseat of my mom's car.
Okay.
A young kid driving home from grandma's.
Well, tying into that, what's your favorite new song outside of metal right now? Do you keep up?
I really like Kali Uchis. People probably wouldn't expect that. She's kind of like R&B. There's like rap sometimes, and her music is pretty eclectic, but the song Tyrant from her new record is really cool. I've been listening to that for a long time.
And who is that?
Kali Uchi.
Kali Uchi.
Yeah.
Okay. You're playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I've done it before.
Is your character a fighter?
Oh, yes.
A mage or a rogue, and why?
It's a fighter every time. I don't know. That's just my go-to, dude. And that's the character, like, when I'm playing
any kind of role-playing video games that I always favor, too. I don't know, just it goes. Role-playing started with me when I played Dragon Warrior, the first one for Nintendo. And then I got into D&D, and I was playing it on the playground and shit during recess. And I kind of miss it, man. I've definitely entertained the idea of doing it again, but I just haven't done it in so long now.
Sure. Well, do you have like a favorite character name that you come up with?
No, not that I can think of off the top of my head. There hasn't been anything recurring.
All right. We'll have to figure something out.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, last question for you.
Yep.
You can only use one word for the lyrics of a new song you're writing. What is that word and why?
Ooh. Fuck, man. I don't know. I guess a shit song. Shit.
Just shit?
Shit. I'll say it 100 ways.
Sounds good. Trevor, thank you so much.
Thanks. Cheers, man.
It's Trevor with Black Dahlia Murder.
Signing off.
Thanks to Trevor of Black Dahlia Murder, and thanks to Justin and Max of Tala for being on the show. It means the world to us. You guys were awesome as guests, and it's greatly appreciated. Remember that you can find us on all your social media. You can stream us pretty much anywhere. Supermetalworld.com. Go there, listen to some podcasts, read some blog. We only have one.
read blog. Column.
Yeah, read column, excuse me. Yes, and we'll get more as the time passes.
Also, remember to rate and review us on iTunes. And I said we got a rating on Facebook.
Interesting.
Yeah, someone gave us a 5 out of 5.
Well, thank you for that.
Shout out to Arnie.
Yeah, and also go and do that on iTunes.
Yes, of course. That's
the main one that we're pushing, because it's just...
It kind of drives all the other stuff.
It drives everything else, yeah.
That's what the experts say. Horns high.